Hey guys, welcome back. Today we have Elsie Larson of A Beautiful Mess blog. She started as a blogger, but her and her sister have grown that business into so much more, including 3 published books, a natural product line and clothing brand called WeFresh. They've also released 4 number one selling apps. Her home is gorgeous and has been featured everywhere, including the newest Domina book. And she's going to talk to us today about adopting her gorgeous daughter, Nova, from China, what it's like to become an instant mom while thousands of people watch, learning how to balance becoming a working mom overnight, handling the haters, and some practical productivity tips to maximize her work hours so that she can be present during her precious Nova hours. She even tackles balancing screen time, even though part of her job requires her to be engaged on Instagram. Guys, there's a lot here, and I'm not gonna lie, I even got a little emotional. And Shaylee, I don't know, I might be adopting now. I don't know.
No, you're not.
We'll see.
You're not.
I don't know. I can use one more. Done. But before we get into that, we have to thank our amazing fake sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Snapchat filters. Snapchat filters. Can we all just agree to never meet in real life?
Yeah, because it's only downhill from there.
It's only downhill from there. TM. All right, enjoy Elsie.
Welcome to Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand.
We're trying to figure out how to do this thing, the mom thing, the entrepreneur thing, while trying to turn all the lemons into lemonade.
And figuring out how to grow our own little lemonade stands we've started.
But metaphorically.
Metaphorically.
Yeah, they get it.
I'm Shaylee Murphy, an interior designer and mom of one.
And I'm Katie Day, a photographer and mom of 4. So, I win.
Do you?
Do I?
Let's take all the kids to Target and see who wins.
So, Shaylee.
Yes?
Here's how I feel about chores.
Tell me.
They're not fun until you get in the zone. We talked about the zone.
Oh, man, that zone.
Okay, so I get in the zone during food prep.
Right.
I do meal prep for the whole week, thanks to Prep Dish.
Yeah.
And I get in the zone. I pop in a podcast.
Yes.
I pour myself a bevy.
Mm-hmm.
It's beverage.
You are prepping
and
your
I'm like,
dishes.
Shh. This is me time all of a sudden. Suddenly, boom, it's over. The meal is prepped for every night for the rest of the week.
You're saving so much time and it's stress-free. Prep Dish is a meal planning service, and every week you get an email with a grocery list and prep ahead instructions. It even tells you like where in the grocery store the items are, so it organizes them for you. There's no guesswork needed. Let Prep Dish do the planning for you.
Visit prepdish.com/SK, where the founder, Allison, is offering you a free 2-week trial. Try it out for free. This is a no-brainer. prepdish.com/SK. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Elsie Larson. Hey, girl.
Hey.
That's her. That's her voice all the way from Nashville, Tennessee. Well, we are going to jump right in. We're so excited to have you. And we just want to start off. They've all heard your bio by now, but we would love to hear you walk us through just a little taste of your journey to becoming the entrepreneur rock star that you are.
Cool. So my sister and I started our first business almost 11 years ago now, which is our blog, A Beautiful Mess. And I mean, we've had a lot of failures along the way, so don't know that up front. But we started the blog and we were lucky to become kind of one of the blogs that took off, I guess, back in the day when blogging was new. And so we've been doing that for so long now. And then about 6 years ago, we invested all the savings we had in our whole business account to try our first app, which most people know by now is a stupid idea, and a lot of people told us not to do it, but we ended up being super lucky and having an app that sold over 1 million units, and since then we've made, I think we're on our 4th app. And we have a non-toxic beauty company, and we still run our blog every day. And so that's just a little bit about what our business does.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you. I am
a fan of Silicon Valley, and I feel like any of those guys would be like,
oh,
what?
God.
What did
I
you do?
I love watching Silicon Valley. It is one of my favorite shows, and it's like my fantasy. It's my fantasy to be like somehow like – I want to be somehow on the show. Not not myself, but like our story.
Yes, right. That would be awesome.
The house atmosphere that they're living in would really like shoot through the roof if they storylined you guys in.
Yeah, you need an incubator.
I love that house. Yeah, I love everything about it. It's definitely one of my favorite shows.
Oh my goodness.
Jared.
That is amazing. Okay, so you focused most of your time on growing this business. And then what has happened that has been new the last couple of years?
Anything happened new in the last, like, new? I don't know, 12 months? Yeah.
Yeah, so we, I don't know, I guess I had been trying to get pregnant for a little while. And then we decided, like, if it comes to our 5-year anniversary and we haven't gotten pregnant, then we're going to adopt. And it came to our 5-year anniversary. And I realized I am not even sad, like, because a lot of people go mm-hmm. through a lot of pain and heartache mm-hmm. With infertility, which I don't even know if I had infertility or have it. I'll probably never know, because I just felt like it was a very clear, like some people would call it a calling in my life to adopt. Like mm-hmm. it was one of the most clear things I've ever known in my life that I was supposed to do. My husband and I, of course, and he was totally on board too. And so we spent the last couple of years doing that. It was an 18-month long process, which is pretty long, like twice as long as carrying a child. And it felt like 5 times as long.
Yeah, I bet.
And now we have a little girl about to turn 3.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh.
So can you educate us just a little bit on the types of adoption that they are and which one you decided to go with?
Sure. Yeah. I think the two big paths for someone living in the U.S. is a domestic adoption versus an international adoption. So we decided to do the international adoption. A lot of people ask us why. And like, I don't really have like a reason, because I believe that all adoptions are good and the best choice. Like any child, you know, that needs to be adopted is the best child to adopt.
Right.
So I don't think that so it matters. Good. But we had followed another family. I think this happens a lot. Like we had followed someone's adoption from China and our hearts got really attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it came time for us to do it, that was kind of the one that was like pulling, like tugging us in that direction the most. So I guess that's why we decided to go down that path, and it was just amazing, and we'll definitely do it again. We're planning to adopt again, and it can't come soon enough.
Oh my gosh. I have goosebumps. I feel like emotional just hearing like you, how passionate you are about it.
Yeah. Honestly, it's like the best choice I ever made in my life by a lot.
Wow. Oh. Better than risking an app.
Better than risking, like, times a lot.
Yeah.
Still a lot of time and money invested into the decision. But I love, your story. And you've been really open with everyone and shared about it. But it's fun to, like, get to talk through it with you a lot, too. Because I've read all of the stuff that you've kind of put out. But, yeah, it's fun to hear it from you. So
thank you.
You go from no child in your home to not even like sleeping newborn, but like active toddler,
like 2-year-old
overnight. So can you tell us a little bit about what it's like to become an instant mother?
Yeah, definitely. So I always hear like two different trains of thought from moms. Either people will say like, this is so much harder. The newborn stage is so easy and they sleep all the time, blah, blah, blah. Or people will say, you're so lucky that you got to skip the newborn phase.
Right.
You know, people say both. I don't know which one is, you know, more accurate. I think it's probably different for everyone. But for us, yeah, we went to China. We were in a city where I think only one person spoke good English to us in 7 days. Uh-huh. And we brought back to our hotel room a toddler who didn't speak English, who didn't want to be with us, we were complete strangers to her, and she was horrified. So it was a very traumatic way to become a mom. And I always thought it would be the best day of my life, and it was at the time, but it was brutal. It was very painful, very scary. And just knowing that like there was really nothing we could do to comfort her in the beginning. We just had to give it time was the hardest thing.
Oh, gosh.
Gosh. I can't imagine.
When did it feel like it got just like a little bit easier? Like, was there a moment where you're like, wait a minute, it might be okay?
Yeah. There was lots of little moments. Like, after a couple days, we decided to kind of take on the strategy that at the end of the day, we would only count the good moments, because there were a lot of bad moments mm-hmm. in the first month. So every day, if she did one new thing, like the first time she took something out of my hand, the first time she laughed, the first time she explored things and touched things while we were taking a walk through the hotel, like all those little things were a big step for us at the time. And we just tried to like focus and celebrate those, because it was like hours and hours of breakdowns and crying every single day. It was very, very sad.
Yeah. And a 2.5-year-old is so emotional anyway. Just like thinking about our children are the same age. And so like, I'm thinking of like, we barely made it out of the grocery store yesterday. And that's like, just like normal life, let alone if someone like swooped in and, you know, she had no idea what was going on. I can only imagine the confusion that comes out in forms that unlike anything you've ever seen.
Yeah, it was insane. I mean, it is true what people say, like, it's amazing how adaptable children are. And it is, but it's still just a very traumatic thing to go through for her little brain. And when we got her, she had just had a 3-hour van ride to come to meet us. And it was her first time to leave her orphanage at all. So, she had already been crying for 3 whole hours. when we got her. Because just leaving the orphanage was traumatic.
Yeah.
And then she had to go, you know, go be with people she didn't know.
Yeah, I saw Jeremy, your husband, posted something about that was really sweet. Because I think sometimes people look at it like, oh, we're saving this little girl from this terrible, like, you know, place that she was. And they look at it like that. And he wrote this really sweet, kind, like, post about the people who had cared for her first 2.5 years mm-hmm. of their life, and how thankful he was for them, and that they've been, like, how much he, like, I don't know, you probably know more what he said, but just this super sweet, and it made me all, like, emotional reading it, but it was just this kind look at how thankful you guys are for them. And everything they gave her the first 2.5 years. And I thought that was a really sweet and, like, I don't know, insightful way of looking at everything.
Mm-hmm. Very gracious.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that an orphanage doesn't equal bad in a child's brain. It's what they know. And it was her home, and it was the people that took care of her, and it was everything that she knew in her whole world. And she was happy there. And, you know, obviously she needed to be adopted and she needed to, you know, be in a different situation as she grew up, but she was happy, and it is extremely hard to take a child away from who they trust and who they know and love, you know, for all that time. And for the nannies too, who take care of her, like I would love to know, from their perspective, how they deal with that all the time.
Yeah, they bond.
We've sent some pictures back to her orphanage now, and so I hope that we can keep in contact through the years.
Yeah, these are the sweetest people. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's fun to watch it unfold, and it looks like you guys have swooped into somewhat of a normal routine, and can we say you're the cutest little family?
You're so cute ever.
Thank you. Yeah, we feel surprisingly normal now. Even after a few weeks, we started to try to separate, like, what is trauma related problems and what is 2-year-old problems,
right?
Because there it is hard to separate, and you know, she's still just a regular child learning regular things and interested in, you know, learning about the world around her. So
Yeah. She's so cute. She's so cute. And I would say most of the tantrums at this point, I'm sure, are just 2-year-old related. I know, I would say.
I'm like, look at your playroom. You have no problems anymore, honey.
I know. I would live in Nova's playroom.
Yes,
I
can would. We? Or her closet.
Anywhere.
So we're going to move into working mom stuff, but I guess like just to kind of sum up the adoption portion, if someone was listening and they were interested, would you have any encouragement for them or just advice in general for starting the adoption process?
Yeah. Okay. So my best advice for someone who has even a tiny part of their heart that's interested in adoption is I believe that our hearts open up for a reason, especially to something like adoption, special needs adoption, international adoption. A lot of people go into it surprisingly, like knowing what they want from like the first day, because it's like kind of just always been in there. So I think that if you feel your heart opening up, you should listen to it. And, you know, there's all different ways to become a parent, but I just hope that by sharing our story that, you know, it'll show people that it's like, we're not heroes and we're just a regular family living a regular life. And adoption is honestly not that weird or different. I hope that it will become normal to more people.
I think it is. I really do. I think you're doing great service.
Right. It's just, it's one of the ways to grow a family, just like having a child biologically or all the other ways. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I learned in the beginning when we started telling people we were adopting is that so many people don't really have very much experience with adoption. So the negative stories that people have heard seem to get passed around way more than the positive stories. So that's one of the main reasons why we try to always share our story, is because we want people to see that, it's really not that scary.
No, I love it. And you give a very good glimpse of it and like saying, and then it was a 3-hour van ride. They handed her off and we were a family. And then we held hands and we skipped off into the sunset. She just started speaking English at 2.5 when most kids can't even speak English from America. And I think it's a good snapshot of it and exciting. So thank you for sharing.
I think you're making me want to adopt. What happened? Uh-oh, Jared.
Uh-oh.
So let's move into a little bit of like work-life mom working balance, because that's kind of the theme of this podcast is we've got the moms who have like an entrepreneurial spirit and they're just trying to do both.
Nice.
So what would you say, is it difficult to focus during like the time that you've designated as mom time because you're thinking about work, or have you found ways to kind of turn off work and be present?
So for me, my workflow, we have childcare. Like we found a daycare that Nova loves and she goes there every day, every weekday. And so I have like a very clear schedule, and I know when I'm working and I know when I'm not working. And other than maybe I'll finish something real quick after she's already in bed at night, I never think about work when I'm with her. And I feel like it's become really easy to just fully be with her or fully be doing my job. And both of those things are so important to me that when I'm doing them, I just try to give it everything I have and then kind of leave it when I shift to the other one.
Yeah, that's really good. So you think having like a set hours for work makes it easier to just say, and that's done. That's done now.
Yeah. And I know that it's a privileged thing and not everyone has an opportunity to have childcare. But it's been definitely a lifesaver for me because I want to continue working. I own 3 companies and I love my job. And I do think that I want her to grow up seeing her mom's, work. I feel like that's a good example for her as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And also, Shaylee and I and you have this in common where we actually worked for ourselves
a lot of times from home before we actually had a kid in the mix. I'm curious, because I wasn't always that great at regulating my schedule before children. Do you feel like it almost helps you in some ways to kind of know when your work hours are?
Yes, 100%. I feel like I wasted so much time before I had a kid. You know, I would just be like reading blogs and checking my Instagram. And now it's like when I get into my office, I have a to-do list and I'm doing it and I'm finishing it. And then I'm, you know, going to pick up Nova. Like, life just moves in a different speed. And I do feel like I value my work hours much more than I used to.
Right, because they're precious, precious time with them.
Moms can get a whole day of work squeezed into one nap time.
That's our theme.
It's true. When we first came home, we didn't do daycare for 3 months, and we were kind of trading off. And I did feel like I was squeezing in full-time hours into half days while Jeremy was watching her. It was not like sustainable, but it was possible.
Right. Yeah. Just, you know, you're exhausted.
100%. Now the mom that's been doing it for like 8 years is shedding a single tear. Like, it's not sustainable. Why?
Who are you referring to, Shaylee?
I don't know. Katie Day? Katie Day. She has four freaking kids and still trying to do it.
So then this is a perfect segue into just like productivity in general. So you mentioned a to-do list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which seems to be the theme of high-powered women on this show.
Write down what you want to do and then you do it.
And then you do it and cross it off. But do you have any more specific tips for being very productive during those work hours?
So I got one of those apps that shows me how many hours a day I use my phone.
No!
Yeah, I know. And most people's job is using your phone. And you're going to use your phone. And you're going to scroll Instagram and you're going to waste time. But I think that just seeing that you could cut, like you could gain a whole extra hour so easily, most people can. That helped me a lot. And staying on the to-do list. And my big, big thing is prepping ahead of time. Like, I feel like you don't do, well, I don't do my best work when I'm rushed at the last minute trying to pull together a miracle. Like, I know that a lot of people say I work well under pressure. I think a reasonable amount of pressure. But when you're, like, stretching yourself so thin and then you're trying to work magic, I think that's unhealthy. So I devote at least, like, a whole day of my week now to prepping for the following week, you know, just so that I don't have to live my whole life off of Amazon Prime.
Yeah. There should be a t-shirt. Hey, you have a t-shirt. You have a company that does that. Just to segue off of that, like a little bonus question. You were talking about gaining an hour back of your life, not scrolling on Instagram, but part of your job is Instagram. Mm-hmm. How do you balance when it's like, I feel like I would justify, like, this is my job.
I
make filters on Instagram filters for a living. I should be, you know, I make apps. So this is work. It's work that I'm coloring another photo of my child and posting it. So where's the line between like you working on social media and then you browsing?
I think for me, I'm not very good at moderation. So I just leave my phone either in my purse or in another room. When I'm doing something that doesn't require my phone, like, especially if I want to like clean up or stage something or, do a meeting in person, then being away from my phone is really important to speed that up.
Yeah, that's good.
She can't justify posting during those two things.
No, meeting in person.
I mean,
wait, did
honestly,
you just post
like,
a picture right now? No, I'm just
kidding. We could all use Instagram, you know, one or two times a day and get done the same amount, you know, of work.
Yes. Right.
You know, that we do now. It's just, there's all these other in-between times where you're basically just, you know, answering your DMs or commenting back to people. And while that's important, I think that it's better if you just do it all at once and then leave it alone for a while.
No, that's so good. And the messages will still be there. I'll like feel like I need to respond to something super late. And I'm like, wait, they're going to be there like in a little formed to-do list in the inbox or whatever. So you can get to those at another time. I think especially like, people, people don't expect you to always be on it. Or maybe they do, but they shouldn't.
That's their problem.
That's their problem. And I think there's a difference between checking it intentionally and, like, feeling that little, like, urge, like a drug usage urge to, like, I need to look,
like, because my husband,
I have 30 seconds.
My husband left the room while I was watching TV. What do I do?
He's going to the bathroom. Quick. Panic.
Scroll. Okay, very cool. So then, speaking of people being weird on Instagram, you had a post once about, I don't remember how you phrased it, but I call them haters. And you talked about, like, sort of mindset, or in some of them were even just very practical tips for sort of handling some of the haters you get. I mean, obviously you're very much in the spotlight, so I'm sure you have dealt with it more than the average person. Trolls, haters. Give us the tips. Yeah.
So the question is, like, how to deal with them.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So.
Or in your mind.
Everyone is going to get some level of negativity. And I do believe that there's, like, a special form of negativity for moms that comes from other moms, which is sad and awful, but it's true. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I try not to let people get into my day. Like, I try to not let them have a place in my day that they don't deserve. Because it is so easy to read, you know, 50 really sweet comments and then read one kind of mean one and then just, like, dwell on it and think about it and spend way too much time writing back and forth. When we first got back from China, I went through, like, a phase where I was writing people back and sort of, like, standing up for myself, which I think was healthy. But then I realized at a certain point that it was kind of a waste of time too.
Right.
So I think that there's a time in your life when you need to stand up for yourself and sort of, like, set the record straight. And then there's a time in your life when you need to realize that negative people are always going to be out there and you kind of just need to, like, filter them out yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You need to create an app for that, where we can just filter them.
Filter out negativity, positive vibes only.
That's so good. And there, people who are negative, there's no right. Like, they're gonna pick everything apart and be mad about something, no matter what you do.
It doesn't end with an apology. Let's just put it that way.
Right.
Every once in a while, it does.
It's like, but you know what? You really
a lot of explaining why they have every right to say whatever they want, and just kind of a waste of my time. And
agreed.
I don't know. I think every once in a while, standing up for yourself is important, and the rest of the time, just ignoring it is easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember in the post that you wrote, you said something about, you know, 10 years ago, you might have let a negative comment, like, affect your whole day, and now you might not even remember by the end of the day. So that's pretty amazing.
That is true. Yeah, I used to say it doesn't get easier, but then it did. Like, once I turned 30, it's like I just kind of gained, like, a new level of confidence. And I just realized, that, like, you can't worry so much. I mean, I don't know. You can't let someone ruin your day. It's just an awful amount of power. And there's always going to be something. But I will say, I think it's important to listen to critical feedback, and I do learn things from my critical feedback, and I don't think that everyone who says something critical is a hater, but there is an awful lot of shaming going on woman to woman that's just not right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. Right, if we don't have each other's backs, then, like, who is going to support anyone.
Right.
Like, I feel like we're the only ones that understand what each other is going through. So that's really important.
Agree. Mm.
Okay. So I want to know a little bit more about the day in life of Elsie Larson. Do you have a morning routine?
I do. This morning started kind of early for me. So it's a little different because I'm taking off after this to spend time with Nova. We're going to go, like, visit some friends. But typically, we wake up, we spend an hour, maybe 2 hours with Nova, depending on how early she wakes up.
Sometimes four.
And then she goes with Jeremy to get coffee. And then, it's like her routine. Mm. She doesn't have the coffee. She goes with him to go through the drive-thru. And then she goes to daycare. And we just like bust ass all day and try to get as much as we can done. And then at the end of the day, go get her and hang out again. So it's, I guess, sorry, your question was about morning routine.
Yeah, no, that's morning okay. You're routine, a mom now. I love that.
I mean, for me, honestly, like try to put on makeup and get dressed and then you got an A plus for the whole day. That's how high my standards are.
Fake eyelashes are extra credit.
Did you have a different morning routine before you had a toddler?
Yeah, honestly, like I was saying, I feel like I wasted a lot of time. Like, you get up, you play with your phone for 30 minutes in bed. Right. You know what I mean? Like, there's just things that aren't a part of my life anymore. I feel like each segment of my day is precious now. You know, it's like the segment with Nova, the segment when I'm working, the segment with Nova again, and then the segment that is Jeremy's and my only time to spend together right. alone is very precious. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to lose any of those. So it's exhausting, but I feel more present than I ever have in any other season of my life. And honestly, like really Woo. Inspired too.
Yeah, girl. Woo. Woo. Yeah. I love it. Okay. And then, this is the most important question.
Right. I don't know if we prepared you for this.
Yeah, I don't know if we prepared you. We're just going to go with it. What is your most frequently used emoji?
Oh, okay. My most frequently used emoji is shrugging woman who's like, I don't know. That's my lady.
Shrugging woman. Oh,
that very well might be mine as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break for our sponsor and come right back with a hilarious game with Elsie Larson. Shaylee, I'm going to level with you.
Okay, level with me.
I want to switch to a more natural, chemical-free home, but I like money so much.
Yeah, that's the internal struggle.
If I had a choice between, like, dying early or having more money, I mean, what am I picking over here? Like, what are my actions saying about me?
Right.
Because I'm not a couponer.
Although I wish I was.
I read the label for, like, chemical-free, and I read the label for, like, death trap soap, and then I just, like, choose the cheap one? What's wrong with me?
I know. If it's $2,
what is wrong with me? It's my home and my family and myself!
Yeah, your babies.
It's time. I need to switch.
You need to switch. And Katie Grove can actually offer a price match guarantee for all their VIP members.
Yeah, and everything on their site's already natural, so I don't even have to worry about it.
It's beautiful.
I'm out of excuses.
You're out of excuses.
It's time. If you're a listener, you can sign up for Grove Collaborative, and you will receive $30 in Mrs. Meyer's products, a bonus gift.
Yeah, no joke.
It provides you with unlimited free shipping, free full-size gift every couple months, price match guarantee, amazing personal service.
Ladies, go to grove.co/sk and sign up.
And we're back.
Okay.
So we have prepared a segment for you. Get ready. It's gonna involve some improv comedy. Okay.
Oh no.
Shaylee and I enjoy role playing.
Right.
Not the healthy kind.
Okay. Not the unhealthy kind.
Just like Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay. No. There's so costumes involved.
We are going to be random people who comment on your Instagram. And the game is called Heart emoji or no response. So you have to decide if you're going to...
Okay.
You have to decide if you're going to respond.
You can deviate if you want to, like,
you
do
can
two
deviate
hearts,
if you want.
You know, something creative.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So Shaylee will be portraying your first commenter. Go ahead.
Okay. I might do voices. These are fictitious so that no one is offended in this.
Any coincidence.
They might relate closely to a post that actually happened. They may not. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
So cute to see you and precious Nova playing together on that playset that you just did the tutorial of. It's so cute. Just so you know, if you slide with Nova down the slide, her little tiny baby legs could get wedged underneath your massive adult legs and be broken simultaneously and crushed on your way down. But that picture is so cute.
No response.
Okay.
No response.
Okay. That's fast.
Tough but fair.
Gotta make the decisions quick.
Okay.
Katie.
Hey, I noticed in the story you posted a couple days ago in the background, reflected in one of the mirrors out the back window,
into your like back office. It's hard to see. There was like a picture frame hanging, but that wasn't tagged.
And oh my I couldn't God. Tell for sure. These are so awesome.
Where I couldn't tell where you bought it, or also I couldn't tell if the artwork in it was offensive. I don't know. Was it on recycled paper? Let me know about the let me know about that thing.
Right. In your free time.
Let me know. Respond.
No response.
Oh, okay. Gosh, okay.
Or you could just say Target. You could probably just say Target.
Hashtag Target does it again. Good luck with that. That's good. Which could also be offensive in some people. I mean, really, everything could be offensive. Okay, I gotta think of another one.
Hey, I noticed when you wrote your grocery list that you didn't tag what pen you used to write it. Could you tag what pen you used to write it?
Because if I get that pen, my handwriting will look like yours. I really like the way that that looks.
I seriously would respond about what kind of pen. That's how big of a loser I am. I would tell them.
I do love pens. I do love pens.
I love my pens.
So that time she does real response.
She responded with, there may have been a heart emoji at the end of the response.
Yes.
Okay.
Kiss emoji.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, Elsie.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
You're amazing.
Yeah, I'm awesome. So excited. Thank you for inviting me on.
Yeah, so real quick, plug if you have any fun stuff coming up or coming out, which you always do. Yes. I will say I have many things from WeFresh, but my favorite is your lip gloss. Can we talk about your lip gloss for
a
minute?
Thank you. Yes.
I like the lipstick. I like the Daisy Sunnies. I like all of the stuff, but the lip gloss is like the, dare I say, best lip gloss I've ever put on my face.
I agree with you. I sleep with one by my bed, and I use it to, like, it's pretty much, like, better than a chapstick. I think it's, like, a treatment, right? Like,
yes.
It feels so good, but obviously it's a lip gloss, too. We're doing ones that are more pigmented. We're doing a lot of neutral colors later this season, so I'm really excited about those because we realized that our more kind of boring colors were selling better than our more crazy colors. So we're doing a lot more.
I love that
colors.
Bright pink. Is it the ring pop or what color is the really bright pink lip gloss?
Pink Ranger.
Yes.
Yeah, they all have 90s
Pink Ranger
names.
Is my favorite.
How much fun is it to name this stuff? That's so great.
And I also love that a whole filter pack, a whole filter pack in your app is based off of Twin Peaks. The black and white. I love Twin Peaks.
I've done a new filter pack recently called Golden. This is in our app, A Color Story. And then I just did an effects pack called Textures, which is, you know, kind of that, you know how it's like trendy now to add like a little bit of like noise or grain to your photo, which is funny because I remember when it was trendy before and now it's like come back.
Right.
Down. It's crazy.
We just cycled through.
Yes. So I'm really excited about the new packs we have, and then in Design Kit we have these new stickers coming out that are crazy amazing. There's one called Hobbies that has like a sewing machine and I can't remember what else, but a stand mixer. They're really special.
Aww, cute.
So
we'll
anyway
tag all of your links to like your various businesses if you are not
Thank
familiar
you.
With Elsie Larson, go to our show notes or Instagram and find her. But we will tag all the places you can find her and all of the businesses that her and her sister Emma own because it's fascinating and it's inspiring to see, I don't know, two women out there like
killing it.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's super rare to have a woman-owned tech business. And we have two apps now. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Woo. Woo, woo, woo. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
You're the best.
Thanks. But before we get into that, we have to think.
I'm sorry. Look at the squirrel.
There's a squirrel. Flattened out.
Literally,
like a
you got distracted
squirrel.
By squirrel. You are cliche.
He's like laying. He's flattened. I can't even explain it. We'll put it in our stories, and you'll never see it because this is recorded before.
Okay. Hey guys, it's Shaylee. Make sure to stay tuned for next week's episode where I talk all about my new home renovation. And by new home, I mean a 100-year-old home.
Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand was recorded in Springfield, Missouri. Thank you so much for listening. We love hearing from you guys on Instagram, email, especially our favorite place of all, iTunes reviews.
Guys, we love reviews, and they help other people hear about the podcast, and we actually read every single one.
We read them, and we squeal, and we screenshot them. Then maybe we text them to each other. But anyway, we appreciate you guys, and thank you so much for sharing the podcast on social media.
If you want to reach out, you can contact us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com or find us at shayleeandkatie.com.
We could not do this without you, and we love you.
We love you. We're in love with you.
Too soon.